The AccuWeather forecast calling for a good chance of rain and wind and maybe thunder today, high around 55 degrees. City of Milwaukee's relaxed the normal winter parking restrictions through the end of the month because there isn't any snow, at least not right now. The Department of Public Works quickly pointing out the alternate site overnight parking rules, those are still in place. Kenosha's 9th Annual Homeless Persons Memorial Day on the first full day of winter, bringing about 24 people to Library Park. They offered prayers, poems, and song, and ate chili, courtesy of the nearby Wendy's. Pastor Al Dory and his wife helped a man named Myron for several months until his passing, leading a prayer for him and the others lost as members of Kenosha's homeless community.
Scripture tells us that in your house are many mansions, and you've created a mansion and a place for us where Myron and the other four have gone, and Lord, they're waiting for us to join them.
Yes,
and we look forward with great anticipation and excitement to the day when we will all be together in that heavenly palace.
Thermalware offered to the homeless for the event, balloons released in memory of those who passed away. Information about the group Walking in My Shoes, the organizer Joe Wynn, it's available by calling their office at 262-764-0214 or it's online at walkinginmyshoes.com. The application window for school preference, magnet, or lottery school enrollment in Racine Unified for next year began on December 1st, the district website listing all the requirements and access points. But prior to the deadline January 15th, the Board of Education this week voted to eliminate language allowing preference for minorities and special ed students. That language has been around for several years. Records of the meeting showing Julie McKenna the only no vote to the policy change, which came at the four-hour mark. The specialty schools in the district are Jefferson Lighthouse, Walden 3, Bullfine Arts, Red Apple, and the Real School Charter. Unified Stacy Tapp says these changes are effective immediately, which means once the enrollment period ends and the lottery process begins, it's essentially wide open, but for the current students and siblings starting kindergarten. Racine's Traffic Commission will be discussing data next month from the speed display signs along Ohio Street near Graceland Boulevard. Also information from the police department's speed trailer set up recently on Northwestern Avenue. Alderman Sandy Widener requested the signs be shifted from Ohio Street to the other location due to several accidents, one of them taking out the clock at the Storino Funeral Home.
My request is twofold. One is to have that give the Commissioner of Public Works direction to move that little speed feedback sign over on Northwestern Avenue to help with a reduction in accidents in that area. And the second is, in the long run, to develop some kind of procedure protocol for an alderman to make the request to have that moved.
Two of the accidents this year on Northwestern near the Country Club golf course involved drunk drivers, according to police. The others listing failure to yield and following too close for conditions. The city of Burlington will be getting a new fire chief in about 6 months for a department that currently has four full-time employees and almost four dozen volunteers. Perry Howard's been the acting chief on a full-time basis, as well as the city's emergency manager. That's since 2013. A press release quoting Mayor Bob Miller is saying that Howard will have a chance to look for other opportunities, while the negotiated plan allows the city to search for other candidates. Mayor Miller saying, "We don't want to rush. We want to get this right because we know how important this position is to our fire department and to our community." Legislation co-authored by Whitewater Republican Senator Steve Noss and Kewaskum GOP Representative Jesse Kramer would no longer allow state and local fire chiefs to prohibit the use of real Christmas trees in public places. The two indicate in their memo with the legislation that some communities have presumed natural-cut Christmas trees are permissible until a complaint is filed. They add that some fire chiefs in smaller communities are imposing a flat-out ban on natural-cut Christmas trees with little to no explanation. Their memo goes on to state, quote, "The bill would create a presumption that a tree is safe until proven otherwise, whether in a place of worship or the Wisconsin state capitol." Well, if you did the online enrollment through healthcare.gov for insurance recently, that entire process showing a rather sizable increase in the number of participants.
More than 8.2 million consumers signed up for health coverage through the site or have their coverage automatically renewed. The Department of Health and Human Services released new numbers showing that 6.4 million people were signed up last year. 1 million of the enrolled this year were young people, and the average age of a consumer is lower than it was last year as well. Michael Toscano, Washington.
13 charges filed against a man from Racine arrested by the Metro Drug Unit at his home on College Avenue this week. 34-year-old Richard Nelson facing allegations that include possession of marijuana, LSD, narcotics, and other controlled substances, all with intent to deliver and all as a repeat offender. Officers confiscating more than 6 pounds of marijuana and marijuana products, along with other drugs. Nelson's in the Racine County Jail. He'll be back in court next week. The holiday season did not sway. Kenosha aldermen were asked this week to postpone a 30-day license suspension for a city tavern, which had accumulated a sizable number of violations. Kenosha Midnight on 22nd Avenue closed Tuesday for a month. Aldermen rejecting a plea from the owner's attorney, Terry Rose, to postpone that suspension until January, noting sales at Christmas and New Year's, very important to the tavern's bottom line, and to 2015 as a whole as to whether it's going to be profitable. Alderman Kurt Wilson said the request has been made and denied before.
To stay consistent, we should not grant a deferral on this item. Because at least in the last 2 or 3 years that I've been on the committee, we have not granted a postponement or deferral to get them past holidays or any other days.
The vote to suspend the license of the tavern for 30 days was unanimous. Milwaukee State Senator Lena Taylor a little displeased after her teenage son got stopped by police. This happened Monday night while her son was delivering a frozen turkey to a neighbor. Says the officer searched the 16-year-old, had him sit in the back of a squad car. Police indicate in a statement the officers were addressing robberies in the area at the time, called the incident a lawful field interview. And Madison attorney Claude Cavelli, who's a Kenosha native, drops his bid for the state Supreme Court seat. It was held by the late Justice Patrick Crooks. He died, of course, in September. Cavelli is 68, admitted his campaign began too late, not enough time to get the message out. That leaves just 3 candidates, Justice Rebecca Bradley, Appellate Court Judge Joanne Kloppenberg, and Milwaukee Circuit Judge Joe Donald. It's another unfortunate example of scammers preying on the public, an elderly Kenosha couple losing $17,000. 2 men came to the door of a home near 47th Street and 46th Avenue in reference to checking what police reports said was a circuit breaker and or a water line. One of them took the woman into the backyard, kept her busy. The other went with a husband into the basement. At some point, somebody got upstairs, and aside from the missing money, credit cards and legal documents were also taken. The 2 men connected by the victims to a light-colored pickup truck observed earlier in the driveway. Habitat for Humanity, well known in communities around the country for building homes for first-time home buyers. Tuesday afternoon, the local chapter, part of a ceremony for the very first such project in the village of Mount Pleasant. More than 80 such homes have been built in the city of Racine, but 2225 Meat Street is the first over the border. Thanks to a $100,000 personal donation to the cause from S.E. Johnson CEO Fisk Johnson. His company, though, has been involved with Habitat's efforts for years. The house keys turned over to Tanya Grandy during the ceremony. She is a Head Start teacher. She plans to help get after-school programming to the neighboring COP house, which is on the same block. In the village of Pleasant Prairie, part of a developer's agreement for Bear Realty and their proposed 280-unit apartment complex north of Sam's Club and Walmart off Green Bay Road, that's been finalized. It'll be going to the Board of Trustees next month. It's the financial portion of the agreement that's been completed, but the development itself, well, that effort needs a little bit more work, according to officials. That part has been deferred until the January 12th board meeting. The overall project calling for more than 24 buildings of 20 units each. Well, it's another sign of the slowing energy economy. 2 Wisconsin sand mine operators laying off more than 60 workers. Companies, of course, have to tell the state about any pending layoffs, and they did. Workers at the mines in Chautauqua and New Auburn being let go. The state Supreme Court has suspended the license of well-known Milwaukee defense attorney Gerald Boyle, who has done cases all over southeast Wisconsin, but is perhaps best known for representing serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer. The suspension is for 2 months, and it's because of a series of ethics violations alleged by the Office of Lawyer Regulation, 5 stemming from a case in which a client hired Boyle to help recover money spent on John Lennon memorabilia that the man suspected was fake, but improperly deposited advance fees and did not aggressively pursue the case. The other count, alleging Boyle improperly deposited an advance fee from a client that he was defending in a criminal case. Racine Unified School District's decades-old policy on desegregation and immigration of schools still in place, but there is movement to look at it in the future in relation to federal court decisions that have taken place over the years. There was public comment during this week's school board meeting, Tammy Hayward saying that members of her family were involved years ago with the Desegregation Citizens Committee and came up with, in her words, something to be proud of. But she questioned the current lack of such involvement to simply end the policy.
As a teacher of over 30 years, I saw the long-term results. Students who worked, played, participated in sports, activities, and did life together. I'm very concerned at the thought that we are now ending desegregation in our schools. And there is little input, it seems to me, from the community on this.
Superintendent Lolly Haw said that a committee is being formed to look at the desegregation policy over the next couple of months.
The charge would be for that committee to do its work in January and February and come to the board in March or come to the board in April. That committee could think that through. The charge would be for Pastor Hargrove and Dr. Gallion to co-chair the first meeting, but then that group would select the co-chairs from among that body.
The current Racine Unified policy on desegregation does require a certain portion of minority and special needs students in each school. AccuWeather forecast, it is going to be rainy and windy and maybe some afternoon thunder, high around 55. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.